Welcome to New Life Church Podcast. Fresh and relevant teaching from New Life Church in Birmingham. For more information on New Life Church, please check out our website, www.nlc-billingham.com.
And the end of the fifth session, the end of the fifth message, we should all have a clear understanding of what is involved, what is expected of those who are going to take partnership with us here at New Life. For our current members, you can, once we've had session five, you can begin the process of reapplying for membership. And for those who are not yet current members, those who haven't had the opportunity to become members, you will have the opportunity also of applying to partner with us here at New Life. Our new membership, our new partnership will begin to take effect from our AGM meeting, which will be on the 23rd of September. Our new membership partnership will come into force on the 23rd of September when we have the AGM. There are five requirements to be met before application can be made. And so, for the sake of clarity, let me just mention them again. Once you have understood this, at the end of five sessions, you will be able to apply to the leadership make application to become members. The requirements are that you will have listened to all five teaching sessions. That's why it's important, if you've missed one, to make sure that you get a copy of the CD or the DVD at the booth at the back. If you go and have a word with them who are working at the booth, they will make sure that you have a copy. And all five teaching sessions must have been listened to. Person obviously must have a personal profession of faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and also have been baptized in water by immersion as a public example of one's faith in Christ. At session number five, a pack will be given out. In this pack, it will contain an application form. It will contain two statements of belief, one which we require you to sign and send back, the other one which we want you to keep. And also, it will contain two membership covenants, one which we want you to sign and send back, the other one we want you to keep. And you will then send that pack back with the application form signed for the leadership to look at those who are taking on this whole area of partnership, membership with us here at New Life. In our first session, we talked about the importance of being planted in the house. Our second session, we talked about our mission and our purpose. And the last session that we had, we talked about our responsibility. And if you can remember, in the last session, we talked a lot about spiritual maturity, about growing up in Christ. With spiritual maturity comes understanding, an understanding of our responsibility that we looked at in our last session, an understanding of our service, which we'll look at today, and an understanding, too, of the commitment that is required from every believer. And in our last session, we will look at our commitment, and we'll pull all the teaching that we've had so far into that last session when we talk about our commitment. But our subject this morning is our service. And if you've got your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter 13, and we're going to read from verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning to read from verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and he was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you will speak to us all. We pray this morning that the presence of God in this house will take the word of God and put it and write it and put an indelible impression upon all of our hearts. It's already been spoken about this morning, Lord, about, Lord, ministries and revelation coming to your people through the preached word. And we pray that that will happen this morning. We pray this morning, Lord, as we open the truth, that the truth will set people free. We pray for every restriction to go. We pray for every binding influence, anything that would hold the people of God back from serving the Lord. We pray this morning, Lord, there will be a tremendous release. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, we need to understand that when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, he wasn't seeking to institute a literal practice that should be carried out in the church. I know there are some churches who literally observe this practice of washing one another's feet. But Jesus showed great concern that the meaning of servanthood should be well understood by his disciples, and that nobody would deem it beneath his dignity to perform the most menial of tasks to others. Remember, Jesus took a task that night that nobody else was willing to do. He took upon himself, the Bible says, the form of a servant. And being like that, he humbled himself. Servanthood is a disposition of the heart and of the spirit, which expresses itself in concrete actions. It's more than just words. It's more than just knowing about it. Servanthood expresses itself in concrete actions. Jesus concluded by saying, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have done this to you, you ought to do it one for another. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." When you have an understanding of what Jesus meant that night when he washed his disciples' feet on this whole aspect of servanthood. In fact, friends, I think it's an amazing, the last act Jesus did with his disciples prior to going out into the Garden of Gethsemane where he was arrested. The last act that he did was so significant, so special, that it washes right across the New Testament. This whole whole aspect of servanthood. One of the characteristics and qualities that we would desire and expect to see here at New Life on those who would partner with us is that they have a servant heart. There are some 51 others in the New Testament. Things that we ought to be doing one for another. Encouraging one another. Helping one another. Praying for one another. There are some 50 that one another's we read about. Of course, in several times, Paul talks about by love, serve one another. By love, serve one another. And to a church, the church at Corinth, that was full of division, full of people choosing whose leader they were going to follow. I am of Paul, I am of Paulus, I am of Peter. Paul writes to that church and he says this, we are simply God's servants. Simply God's servants. Each one of us does the work which the Lord has given him to do. I planted the seed. Apollos watered the seed that was planted. But it was God who made the plant to grow. We are just servants. Ephesians 2:10. It is God himself who has made us. It is God himself who has made us what we are. Given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ago he planned that we should spend these lives helping others. Jesus said, I have glorified you on the earth by completing to the last detail what you have assigned me to do. That's why he could cry on the cross, it is finished. To the last detail what God the Father had given him to do, Jesus could say, I've completed it. Right down to the last detail. The Apostle Paul at the end of his life could say, I have fought the fight, the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. I finished the work that you gave me to do. I pray that at the end of our lives, friends, we will be able to say that. I've done what you've asked me to do. I've accomplished the task why you put me here on planet Earth. We were put on earth, friends, not just to consume. Not just to eat and breathe and take up space. I believe that every single one of us were put here on earth to make a contribution. God designed you and he designed me that we might make a difference. You are here to make a difference. We are here as a church to make a difference. You know, friends, there are no end of books and courses that offer advice on how we can get the most out of life. No end of people telling you how you can make the most out of life. How you can get the most out of life. Let me tell you, that wasn't the reason we were created for. We were created to add life on earth. To add to it. And not just to take from it. God wants us to give something back. And we do that by our service or by our ministry. I want to say this morning, we were created to serve God. Can you say amen? We were created to serve God. God has created, as the Bible says, for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. Good works, the author says. God has prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. In other words, friends, those good deeds are our service. Whenever we serve others, we are actually serving God. That is a profound statement, but it's absolutely true. Whenever we are serving others, we are actually serving God. What God said to Jeremiah is true of us as well. God said to Jeremiah, before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you before you were born. I set you apart for a special work. We have been set apart for a special work. God has chosen us. We were created to serve Him. And the reason we are on planet Earth, friends, is that we have a special assignment from God to do. God has given to each one of us a special assignment. We were saved to serve Him. Friends, the moment you were born again, you were ready for heaven. You could have died at that moment and gone straight to heaven. Why did God not take us to heaven the moment we were born again? Simply because there's something for us to do. There's a work for us to do. We were saved to serve God. 2 Timothy 1:9, the Living Bible says this, it is He who has saved us and chosen us for His holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan. God has chosen us to do a holy work. We are not saved by service. Understand that. Friends, we cannot earn our salvation by works. That's why the Bible says, not of works. We are saved through faith, not of works. We are not saved through our service. But I want to tell you this, we are saved for service. That is the reason we have been saved, is that we might serve the Lord. James says, faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith, your faith, without any service is dead. It's alone, it stands alone. Faith and works must go together. He says, show me your faith by your works. By what you do determines your faith. We owe God our lives, don't we? The Bible says we are bought with a price. And friends, we owe God everything that we've got. The Bible says He has loaded us with benefits. God has loaded us down with tremendous benefits. Through salvation, our past has been forgiven. Our future, our present is given meaning. And our future is secure. Bless God. God has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Hallelujah. In light of what God has done for us, friends, in light of all the blessings and all the benefits that the Bible says He has loaded us down with, these incredible benefits, Paul writes, because of His great mercy, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service. John writes, it's by loving others that we demonstrate that we are really saved. 1 John 3:14, our love for each other proves that we have gone from death to life. Hallelujah. Friends, let me say this morning, if we have no love for others, and if we have got no desire to serve others, and we're only concerned about our own needs, we've got to ask the question, does Christ really live in us? If that's all our concern is, does the Saviour really live in us? A saved heart is a heart that serves God. Another term used for serving God is that word ministry or minister. If someone was to ask you the question, who's your minister? Chances are you would say Cliff Henderson. Sometimes we've got a wrong concept, friends, of this word minister. We give it oft times to the clergy or someone who's full time in what we call the ministry. Can I say this morning, every single Christian is called to the ministry. Every single one of us are called to the ministry, friends. So the next time if someone says to you, who's your minister? Say, well, there's Val, there's Kevin, and there's Steve, and there's Hazel, and begin to list some names off. We are all ministers. Every single one of us. The Bible word servant and minister is the same. If you're a Christian, you're a minister. Did you understand that? If you are a Christian, you are a minister. And when you are serving, you are ministering. When Jesus came to Capernaum, Peter's wife's mother was sick of a fever. I don't know if she was sick of Peter, but she was sick of a fever. She was sick, the Bible says, and Jesus, he instantly laid his hands upon her, and instantly she got up. And the Bible says she began to serve them. Here was a woman who used her new gift of health to serve other people. And that's what we are called to do. We are healed to help others. We are blessed to be a blessing. Instantly she began to serve. She used the gift that God had given her of health to serve. Friends, can I say this morning, we are saved to serve. We are not saved to sit around waiting for heaven. We are saved to serve. We are not saved, friends, just to sit and fill a seat on a Sunday. We are saved to serve. The reason you are here is to serve. We sang this morning, I want to serve the purposes of God in my generation. David served his generation. Notice he served it by the will of God. And every one of us here are called to serve. God has a ministry for us. He has a ministry for you in the church. And he's also got a mission for you in this world. We are called to serve. We are not all called to be fivefold ministry gifts that we find about in Ephesians chapter 4. Every Christian is called. Every Christian. The Bible says every Christian is called to service. Our call to salvation included our call to service. They go hand in hand. Can I say, friends, regardless of what job you do, and this morning there are a variety of occupations in this house this morning, regardless of what you do as a living, whatever career path you've chosen, no matter what you do in life, we are all called to be full-time in Christian service. You are a full-time minister of Jesus Christ, a servant of the living God. In fact, friends, a non-serving Christian is a contradiction in terms. A Christian who is not serving, there would be a big question mark on whether they are a Christian or not. Let me ask a question this morning. Are you a serving Christian? Are you a serving Christian? According to the Bible, there's no other type of Christian but a serving one. 1 Peter 2:9, he saved us and he called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose. And any time we use our God-given abilities to help others, friends, we are fulfilling our calling in God. Romans 7:14, now you belong to him in order that you might be useful in service of God. We belong to him in order that we might be useful in service for God. In some churches in China, they welcome new believers into the church by saying these words to them. Jesus now has a new pair of eyes to see with. He has new ears to listen with. He has new hands to help with. And he has a new heart to love with. Tremendous. one important reason why we all need to be connected to a church family is to fulfill in practical ways our calling. That's why every Christian needs to belong to a local church family. So that in practical ways we can fulfill our calling in God. The Bible says, all of you together are Christ's body. Each one of you is a separate and a necessary part of it. Did you hear the interpretation, the first interpretation this morning? There is no insignificant person. We are all important in the eyes of God. We are saved to fulfill destiny and purpose. We all have a role to play. Can I say, friends, every role is important. I once heard the story of a vast symphony orchestra. And they had the full complement of all the musical instruments there. It was conducted by one of the most famous conductors in the world at that time. And the orchestra was filling the hall with this wonderful music. There was a guy sitting in the orchestra who heard this great cacophony of sound. And his job was just to play a few notes on the piccolo. And he said to himself, what's the use of this? In all of this array of sound, I won't be heard. And he didn't play what he had to play. And then the conductor tapped with his baton on the podium in front of him and stopped the entire orchestra. And the conductor said these words, the sound was great, but where was the piccolo? See, friends, to the untrained ear, nobody might have picked it up. But the master conductor picked it up. I want to tell you, friends, nobody might see what you do, but he sees. Everything is known to him. And when you don't play your part, no matter how small it might appear to be, how significant, let me tell you, God sees it. And the body suffers when you don't do it. There is no small service to God. All of our service matters. There are no insignificant ministries in the church. Some ministries are visible. Some invisible. Some are not seen. Some are a lot of things are done behind the scenes. You know, I was thinking about that this morning and thinking, oft times it's the hidden ministries that make the biggest difference. The ministries that are not seen. I was thinking about the communion stewards who prepared this for us this morning. We came in, sat on a seat. Some team were putting this together, getting it ready for us. Nobody sees it. Think of the musicians who come here early and the singers to get prepared for the meeting before it starts. Nobody sees that. The things that are not seen, friends, are vitally important. You see, church just doesn't happen. We just don't turn up and it all happens. There's a lot that takes place behind the scenes to make it happen. Insignificant ministries, friends. Next week we'll have our meal over at the centre. There will be people there who'll get that ready for us. I think once every 8 weeks we can make an effort to go and have fellowship with each other, don't you? I think there's something drastically wrong if we can't make time just once in 8 weeks to join and thank God for what's been prepared for us. The sacrifice that's gone into it. They haven't been in the service this morning or next week. They'll be serving us over there. Little insignificant things. A little while ago we made a call for someone to house Adam. Our student from Canada. Thank God for Liz and Steve who took hold of that. and of roars to the we don't see it. It's behind the scenes. But it's ministry to the body. It's serving the body. And we could go on and on and on in seemingly insignificant things. You know, the guys who sort the sound out at the back. We don't see what goes on there. But friends, there's a lot of work that goes on at the back to get the sound right. To get this DVD that people will be seeing, to get it all right. Get the CDs out to you. To make sure it's all right. Hidden ministries. In fact, friends, I think 90-odd% of the ministries in the church are not up here. Not seen. A lot of them are invisible. But I want to tell you, just like the piccolo, God sees. He sees every... In fact, he said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you'll not lose your reward. He sees it. He sees it, friends. Every person matters. Every ministry matters. We all matter to God. Because we are all dependent upon each other to function. Your function in the body affects everything else in the body. And when you are not functioning, the body suffers. When you are not playing your part and doing your share, the Bible says the whole body suffers. Just imagine, friends, when one part of our natural body fails to function, what happens to us? We become sick, don't we? Let one part of our natural body fail to function, and we become sick. The rest of the body suffers. Just imagine if our lungs or our liver suddenly decided to start living for themselves. Eh? Decided they'd had enough. And no longer did they want to serve the body anymore. What would happen to the body? The body would die. Friends, there are today hundreds of local churches dying because of Christians who are unwilling to serve. They sit on the sidelines as spectators and the body suffers. Church, if you don't know anything else or you don't understand anything else, understand this. You are not in this church for any other reason but to serve God. And to serve one another. You are not here just to fill a seat. You are vitally important to the function of the body. That is why is a requirement and one of the characteristics of being a member here at New Life. There is an expectation that everyone who partners with us will serve the body. That we will do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith, and we will serve those who are not yet in the kingdom of God. Those outside of these four walls. For Christians, service is not optional. Something to be tagged on at the end of our busy lives. Friends, service is our life. It's not something that if we can get, you know, give a few spare minutes or spare a little bit of time. Sometimes we can give God the dregs, you know. The leftovers. Give God the dregs of our time, our talent and our energies. Because we've all become spent up in doing other things. Sometimes legitimate things. I was thinking this morning about employment. If God has blessed you with employment, and every week you are getting a wage coming in, even if God's blessed you with the social security in the door, even if God has blessed you with your old age pension, friends, God has blessed you with that. To bless you, so that you can bless God, and you can bless one another. You can bless the church, the local body of his people. That's why God blesses us with employment. It's not just for ourselves. Service is at the heart of the Christian life. The Bible says the Lord Jesus came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to serve and to give. As he is, so are we, the Bible says, in this present world. These two verbs should define our life here on earth. A life of service and a life of giving. There must be an outlet for our ministries. There must be an outlet, friends, for our giftings in God. Those of us who have been to Galilee and those who haven't, you know that Galilee is a lake. They call it the Sea of Galilee, but actually it's a lake. It's a lake that's full of life. It takes, and the reason it's full of life, it's teeming with fish, teeming with resources. It takes water in, but it also gives water out. In contrast, the Dead Sea, as some of us have been down in that region as well, because there's no outflow, the Jordan runs into the Dead Sea, but because there's no outflow from the Dead Sea has become stagnated. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. And friends, unless as believers we have an outflow for ministry, we will stagnate. We will eventually die. I believe that so many believers have become spiritually fat. I know I said that a few weeks ago. Friends, it's not another Bible study some believers need. Some believers are fed upon the word year in and year out. They already know far more than they're already putting into practice. They need an outlet for service, for ministry. And every one of us need that outlet. We all need some serving experiences that build up our spiritual muscles, that flex our muscles. Train yourself into godliness, the Bible says. Exercise yourself. We do it by serving. Serving is the opposite of our natural inclinations. You don't want to serve, and really I don't either. The flesh cries out against it. Most of the time, friends, we are more interested in being served than to serve. That's why many believers look for a church where their needs are being met. They look for a church that they're going to be blessed in. I said right at the beginning when we talked about being planted in the house of the Lord, you don't choose which church you belong to. God adds you to the church. God plants you in a local body of people. So many believers, friends, are looking for a church where they're not there to, they're there to be served and not to serve. They're not prepared really to work hard and to give themselves to the ministry. Let me say something here about our churches in Redcar and Stockton. Both of those churches need a lot of building up. Both of them. We are not three separate churches, and I want you to understand this, and we'll emphasize it time and time again. We are not three separate churches. We are one church in three different locations. One day we might be four churches in one church in four locations, or five locations, or six. We don't know what God's going to do with us. But at the moment we are one church in three separate locations. Once a month, we have an opportunity to go and give something to help one of those churches. In July, there will be opportunities not only in Stockton, but also in Redcar once a month. We'll be going across there on a Sunday night. I ask the question, why is it when that monthly meeting takes place where we're going to not look at what we can get out of church, but we're going to give something? Just by our presence, we're going to say we're with you. We support you. Why is it, friends, that only a handful of people turn up? It is deplorable. Absolutely deplorable. We take the opportunity to have a Sunday night off when we've got an opportunity to strengthen our brothers and sisters in Christ and help a struggling work. You see, it's not for us. You don't need to go. But we need to go for others, because it's not just about us. We need to have a change of mindset. A change of mentality, friends. When this comes on board in July, when over in Redcar once a month we're going, and over in Stockton once a month, I trust we'll have a bigger percentage of the congregation taking up the challenge to be a blessing. Just by your very presence. And I want to say too about those churches, Redcar and Stockton. Friends, it's not, there's got to be a change of mindset that it's not just Billingham Church or Stockton Church or Redcar Church. We are New Life Church. We are together. Not three separate churches, three separate congregations. We are together to build the kingdom of God. In our last session, we talked about maturity. Mature believers follow the Lord Jesus, who followed Jesus. They've stopped asking the question, who is going to meet my needs? And they've started asking the question, whose needs can I meet? Do you ever ask that question? Paul on the Damascus Road had a tremendous encounter with the living Christ. One of the first things he asked Jesus, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? The Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. And I want to say this morning, friends, there is plenty your hand can find to do. Laziness and apathy will cause you to do nothing, but you just have to lift up your eyes and look around, and there's plenty your hand can find to do. The ministries are multiplied. The Bible says one day we'll stand before God. One day we'll give an account of our lives here upon earth. Think about the implications of that. One day, friends, you and I are going to stand before God. And one day God will compare how much time and energy we have spent on ourselves compared to what we've invested in serving others. Let me say, on that day, excuses are as old as time. They began to make excuse. But on that day, there'll be no excuses. There will be not one of us who can give an excuse. Not one of us will be able to say, I was too busy. My job took up all my time. Demanded all my time. All my energies were sapped. Too demanding. Too preoccupied. You know, I've got a family. Friends, we've all got families. I've got a husband. I've got a wife. That was some of the excuses we read about in the Gospels. I've married them and I cannot come. All of our excuses won't wash with God. God will say to us, what did you not understand? What was it that you did not understand? I created you and saved you and called you and commanded you to live a life of service. What was it that you didn't understand? All the wood, hay and stubble, the Bible says on that day it will be burnt up. Only the gold, the silver, the precious stones. A life that's lived for Christ will last. One man said, only one life till soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I remember Jesus talked about a cross. He said, if you want to follow me, take it up. Take up your cross. Deny yourself and follow me. Friends, the cross is not your sickness. It's not the husband who gives you a rough time or the wife. It's not the next door neighbour. The cross is a life of service. Take it up. Deny yourself and follow me. In fact, friends, we're only fully alive when we're spending our lives in the service of the King. Jesus said, if you love your life, you'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospel's will find it. In fact, 5 times that's mentioned in the Gospels. 5 times that's, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. Do you really know what it means to really live? If we aren't serving, we are just existing. Life is meant for ministry. So this morning, we're considering what the expectations are. What the responsibilities are upon those who partner with us here at New Life. And as we're doing that, let me ask you a question as we bring this to a conclusion. How is your service? We are here to make a difference. God wants to work through us. It's not how long we live that's important, it's how we live. Excuses for not doing what God has asked us to do. I've already said they're as old as time. The Bible, friends, is full of people who could have made excuses. And let me tell you this morning, every one of us in this place can make excuses. All those watching on the DVD, we could have made excuses for not doing what God has asked us to do. The Bible says Abraham was old. Don't let your age be an excuse for not serving God. The Bible says they shall be fruitful in old age. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Rahab was immoral. Jeremiah got depressed. Anybody been there? Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist, well, he was a bit of an eccentric, wasn't he? Like the fellow who had a prophecy. He said, in the church of Jesus Christ, I see them. They're like a box of chocolates, Lord. Some are soft-centered. Some, Lord, are hard. Some are sweet. One fellow stood up and he said, aye, some are nuts. We do get eccentrics, but friends, God loves them. Peter was impulsive. He was hot-tempered. Martha was a worrier. So the Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas was a doubter. Paul had poor health. Timothy was timid. Shy. What a variety of misfits. Friends, we're all here. A variety of misfits. Yet I want to tell you, God used every one of them. God used every one of them to serve him. And he will use us. If we stop making excuses. And give ourselves to God. If we can say to God, Lord, here am I. Send me. What's holding you back this morning? We prayed at the beginning that God would begin to liberate us. Let my people go. That they might serve me. What's holding us back, friends, from accepting God's call to serve him? In God's kingdom, the way up is the way down. Not popular, but that's the kingdom of God, friends. The Lord of all, if you want to be Lord of all, you've got to be servant of all. That's not a popular concept, but Jesus said this. Greatness is not measured in terms of greatness is measured in terms of service, not status. Not how high we are. The Lord of all becomes the servant of all. God determines our greatness by how many people we serve, not how many people serve us. We began this morning by looking at that feet washing of Jesus and his disciples. And he said, I've done this as an example. If I then, your Lord and Master, have done this to you, do it to one another. Have you got a servant heart? To become like Jesus, that is one of the requirements. You are not here to serve, but to be served, but to serve. Paul always addressed his letters, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. No matter how great he got, he was always a servant at heart. Hallelujah. This morning, friends, we are saying to those who partner with us, God wants you to have a servant heart. God requires you to have a servant heart. It's one of the expectations that we would place upon anyone who takes the right hand of fellowship here at New Life, to have a certain servant heart. In partnering with us, you're giving yourself to that, not just by believing it, not just by saying it, but by becoming active in the local church, both to the body of believers locally and also in reaching out to those who are lost. Can you say, here am I, send me? Our hearts are shaped for serving others and not to become self-centered. Father, I thank you this morning for the multiplied acts of service that are available for us all to get involved in. We can all find some way to express our love for you in reaching out, Lord, to the body of believers and making ourselves available. Thank you for the insignificant ministries that make the church function. Thank you, Lord, for the multitude of ways that we can find expression of reaching those who have no hope, who are lost and without God. I pray as a body of people, Lord, you will help us all to serve the King. To serve the King with gladness. And to live our lives for something that is bigger than ourselves. I pray from this meeting this morning and from those who listen to it in the days and the weeks to come. I pray that, Lord, you will begin to birth ministries and service in hearts. That, Lord, a body of people here will be available to serve the Lord, who will say to you, here am I, send me.